Shalom, today the 18th day of the month of Adar of the year 5778, corresponding to the 5th of March of the year 2018. We continue with our studies in the work by the late Rabbi Aaron Pfeiffer, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, on the laws of the prohibition of blood and the salting and roasting of meat to remove the blood. We come now to chapter 3 of the section dealing with the rinsing of the meat prior to the actual salting process. And the question we shall be addressing now is, what would be the law if meat was salted without previously having been rinsed, as we have studied in the previous sections? And as we come to see how the halachot play out in practice, what we shall encounter is the way that from the outset, milchatchila, we always try to integrate all of the different halachic opinions and to do what we do in the best way possible, limahadrin, to follow all of the opinions just as far as possible. But when something goes wrong and we are in a bidiavad situation where something has happened, as we shall see, there are circumstances in which we are able to, in which the rabbi is able to rule more leniently. So if meat had been salted without previously having been rinsed to rinse off the surface blood, etc., that meat is forbidden for consumption, and it would not help to go back and rinse that meat and salt it over again. And the reason is because we are concerned that the reason for the rinsing is to remove the surface blood so it won't get absorbed back into the meat. And as soon as the meat was put into the salt, the salt would immediately cause any blood on the surface of that meat that had not been rinsed to be absorbed into the meat, and it will not be able to be removed from the meat through salting, because salting of meat does not have sufficient power to cause blood that had been on the surface of the meat, was absorbed into the meat, to be exuded. Now that would apply even if the salting in question, namely the meat, had not been rinsed, but the meat was only salted in a rather light way. That is where the law applies, that it would not be possible to kasher this meat anymore by salting. So even if only a small amount of salt had been applied, the way that meat would be salted for roasting purposes, and even if the salt had not remained on the meat for the requisite time of salting, which we shall come to when we come to the laws of salting, approximately a half an hour again for the meat to remain in the salt. Even if the meat had only been lightly salted and was not left in the salt for the full requisite time frame, nevertheless, the meat is still not able to be kashered anymore, because we fear that the salt has caused the surface blood on that piece of meat that was not rinsed to get reabsorbed and will not be able to be brought out by salting. However, the law changes if the meat had not been rinsed and was salted. It would be possible to kasher it if through the method of roasting on the fire. And the law is that if the meat had been salted with a lot of salt, in the way that meat is salted for the purpose of kashering the meat, and also if the salt had been on the meat for the full time frame of the salting period, then this meat not only could not be kashered by salting anymore, it could not even be kashered by roasting the meat, even though fire is considered to be have a greater power to cause the absorbed blood to be exuded than salt does. The reason for this law is that where the meat had been salted with a heavy application of salt and it also remained for the requisite time frame for the sitting in the salt on the surface of the meat will cause blood that wasn't on its surface, that had not been washed up, to get absorbed very and entrenched very strongly in the meat, to the point that even roasting will not be sufficient to draw that blood out. But if this meat that had not been rinsed before the salting, if it was rinsed with a heavy layer of salt but did not stay in the salt for the full time frame, there is a difference of opinion among the poskim about what is the law. There are those who say that since it was not left in the salt for the requisite time, then the salt will not have caused any blood on the surface to get reabsorbed and entrenched strongly. And therefore, even though salting would not help, in this particular case, roasting would help after the event, b'diavad, to draw out any blood from the meat that got reabsorbed through being heavily salted, but it had not been left in the salt for the requisite time. There are others who say that even in this case, it will not be possible to draw out the blood from the meat, even by roasting. Now, if it was the opposite way, that the meat that had not been rinsed was salted with a light layer of salt, but was left in the salt for the requisite time frame for the salting, here the later poskim have a difference of opinion, are doubtful about what the law should be, whether it is possible to draw out the blood with roasting or not. And here it is, the actual practice would be to take the more stringent opinion, that where the meat had not been rinsed prior to the salting, if it was left in a small amount of salt before the requisite time, it would not be possible. We would have to discard that meat. Now, if the meat that had not been rinsed was salted with only a minimal amount of salt and also did not stay in the salt for the requisite time of the salting, in this case, even though rinsing the meat again and salting the second time will not help to kasher this meat, nevertheless, everybody would agree that it is possible to kasher this meat by roasting over fire to draw out the blood. Now, wherever roasting the meat is able to help in such cases for meat that had been salted without being rinsed beforehand, after the roasting process, it is then possible to cook that meat. There's no prohibition anymore on cooking that meat after it was roasted in order to draw out the blood, because the power of roasting the meat is sufficient to draw out all the blood that was still absorbed in the meat, and there's no further fear that if we cook that meat, there's more blood to come out that will get reabsorbed. Now, all of the above laws that we have looked at, we've been discussing what happens if the meat was not rinsed before it was salted, and we've seen where the law, melechatchila, from the outset, would be to rule that meat inadmissible, that it will not anymore be able to have the blood drawn out of it. All of this applies in the case where there is not a significant financial loss in discarding that meat. Where there is no significant financial loss, then we rule that where the law states the meat must be discarded, it must be discarded. However, if there was in fact significant financial loss in discarding that meat, then the Rav would be able to adjudicate using the more lenient opinions, as we have discussed, and it would be possible in some cases to save that piece of meat for use. Where there is significant financial loss, even if the meat was salted without being rinsed beforehand and the salting was in a large quantity, and the meat had been stayed in the salt for the full period of the salting time frame. In the case of significant loss, it is possible to rule more leniently and to permit that meat through rinsing it now again and salting it a second time. Well, now we come in the second section of this chapter to another series of laws which relates to the meat that was salted without being rinsed beforehand. If there was a quantity of meat that was 60 times any blood that may have been on the surface of the meat. We've already encountered the concept that a prohibited item is normally considered to be nullified if there's 60 times the kosher food to nullify the effect of the unkosher food. And obviously, where meat has come from the slaughterhouse and has traces of blood on it, the blood will not necessarily be a very significant amount in relation to the amount of the meat. So if meat had been salted without being rinsed prior to the salting, if it was quite clear that the quantity of meat is 60 times any blood that was on its surface, here the law would be that it is permitted to rinse this meat and salt it a second time. And the salting will avail to kosher that meat. And the reason is that the whole fear that blood on the surface of the meat would get absorbed back into the meat through the salting process is according to the first of the four opinions about why we have to do the rinsing before the salting, namely that blood on the surface might get absorbed back. Well, if the quantity of meat is 60 times the total of the blood on the surface, that means the quantity of meat will nullify the effect of any blood on the surface. However, even if there is 60 times the quantity of meat more than any blood on the surface, the law is that it will be necessary wherever there had been a blood on the surface of that piece of meat that was salted without being rinsed, it will be necessary to peel off what is called a sliver of the meat where there had been blood on the surface and the meat had been salted without being rinsed previously, because we are concerned that perhaps any blood that was reabsorbed into the meat did not actually extend into all of the meat, but stayed near the surface, which is highly likely. And in that case, such blood would not be nullified by 60 times its quantity, because it's all concentrated in one place. And that's why we slice off the G'day Khalifa. And this is a concept we should be coming up with time and time again in the laws of Kashrut, cases where some kosher food has come in direct contact with some treif, like if a piece or something forbidden, like if a piece of meat came in contact with a piece of cheese, it might be necessary to cut off this kedei kalifor. Sometimes we need to cut off a thicker slice, a chatichor, a slice. But in this case, the kedei kalifor, just peeling off a sliver, would be sufficient. Now, our rabbinical authorities have estimated that in a regular piece of meat, there will not be a quantity of meat 60 times any blood on its surface. How they made that calculation, I don't know, but our sages are invariably reliable in these estimates. But they estimated that normally, min hastam, in other words, without further qualification, normally a quantity of meat will be 30 times any blood that is on its surface. And this leads to an interesting consequence. Therefore, if there was a piece of meat that had only had half of it rinsed, and the other half had not been rinsed, and they went and salted this meat that had only been half rinsed, we may presume that since half of it was rinsed and there was no blood on it, it's only on the other half that there is blood, that there will in this case be 60 times the quantity of meat more than the quantity of blood on the surface of half of that piece of meat. And for that reason, we would say that except for slicing off a sliver, any blood that was absorbed in such a case into the meat would be nullified by the quantity of the meat. Now, another consequence of this law is in the laws of the salting of poultry. Because obviously a chicken, for example, a portion of chicken that's come from the slaughterer and is ready to be salted. In the case of the chicken, it is considered that the meat of the chicken will have 60 times the volume of meat to any blood on its surface. The reason being that on the chicken, there's no blood on the outer surface of the body. The chicken will be salted when it's been feathered and its skin exposed, and that will not be where blood is. The blood will be on the interior of the body of the chicken. And that's why, since the piece of chicken are considered to be have only half the blood possibly on their surface as a regular piece of meat if it's not been rinsed. That's why the law of chicken is more lenient here. If a portion of chicken had not been rinsed prior to salting, that the quantity of the chicken meat is sufficient to nullify any blood that may have been reabsorbed into its surface. Now, meat that had been rinsed in the proper manner, but then after the rinsing and prior to the salting, the person cut up that meat into several pieces. We've already discussed that it's necessary to rinse that meat again because of blood that will exude from the place of the cuts. Now, if in this case the person did not rinse that meat a second time after cutting it off and went ahead and salted it, here the law is exactly the same as the laws of any other meat that was salted without being rinsed. However, again, if they cut this piece of meat after the rinsing into two pieces in such a way that the only location of any blood on the surface is where the actual cut was made. In this case, we would estimate that there will be 60 times the amount of meat to any blood on that surface. And for that reason, it will be permissible to rinse that meat and salt it, as we discussed earlier. Now, all of these laws where the more stringent opinion is taken, all of these laws apply only where there will be significant financial loss if the piece of meat had to be discarded. But where there will be significant financial loss, even if one salted meat without having had it rinsed previously, and even if the salting was a large quantity of salting, and the meat stayed in the salting for the requisite time frame for salting, where there is financial loss, it is permitted to go back and rinse that meat properly and salt it again, and the salting is considered to avail to kasher that meat. The reason being, even though with regard to the four opinions about the purpose of the rinsing, even though we take the view for the halacha that the main purpose of the rinsing is in order to remove the surface blood from the meat as discussed earlier, nevertheless, where there would be significant financial loss, we would rely upon the second opinion about the purpose of the soul, purpose of the rinsing off of surface blood, being that if you didn't rinse the meat and the meat was salted, the salt would lose its power because of the surface blood, and therefore the salting would not avail. But now, according to that opinion, if you rinse off the meat and salt it again, it will avail. So here, in a case of significant financial loss, we rely upon that more lenient opinion. And here we see the way that the halacha actually works, where in cases where it is possible to do everything according to the correct procedure, milchatchila, from the outset, we endeavor to do that. But in cases where there could be some financial loss involved, and this would be particularly painful to a person who was not wealthy, and the rabbi needs to see what can be done to save the meat of this person, it would be possible to use his expertise on the different views and rule more leniently.